A close friend of President Donald Trump said that Chief of Staff Reince Priebus was showing weakness, and he hinted that he was to blame for the administration's rocky start. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We will talk now with a guest who will say that Trump's tumultuous first few weeks on the job were not Priebus's fault, and that the president needs Priebus in order to work with Congress. And we will welcome your thoughts and questions on this at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Christian Schneider is a columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and USA Today. One of his latest pieces is titled Priebus Not to Blame for White House Dysfunction. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. So Chris Ruddy, who is the CEO of Newsmax, who is apparently a good friend of President Trump's, said in a CNN interview that Chief of Staff Reince Priebus is showing weakness. And he said to the Washington Post, he's over his head. You don't agree. But why not?
Well, I mean, my piece kind of gets to the ultimate irony of the Trump presidency, which is, you know, during the campaign, he ran a campaign of strength, you know, saying, we're going to do this, we're going to, you know, build a wall, we're going to make Mexico pay for it, and, you know, I'm the one that can get all this stuff done. And yet, ideologically, the president is actually fairly weak. It's pretty clear he doesn't kind of know yet what he really thinks about a lot of issues. And so you have a situation in the White House with kind of these warring factions within the White House where, you know, typically you would have staffers that kind of consult the president on certain things, and then the president would ultimately make the right decision. In this White House, it seems like you have, with some of these factions, especially kind of the Steve Bannon populist wing of the party that exists now, trying to fill the president's head with things that he doesn't already know. I mean, I kind of get the appeal of electing somebody that has never held public office before, but there's kind of a price to pay for that. There's a learning curve. The president has to learn certain things, and kind of with his ideological, I guess, malleability, we'll call it, you have staffers that are able to get to him and try and influence him in ways that you haven't had with presidents who have held public office before and therefore kind of know how to handle these issues and what they think about these things. And it seems Reince Priebus is kind of the gatekeeper in keeping a lot of those voices away from the president, and I think we'd kind of be in a lot of trouble if we didn't have him there to kind of keep people away from the president that are trying to influence him in certain ways.
So if it's not Reince Priebus's fault, all this disarray, are you saying it's President Trump's fault?
Well, yeah, I think he's kind of a magnet for this type of chaos. When it seems like he kind of foments this type of, you know, competition with his own staff. He feeds on it, and, you know, that's why you have him tweeting late at night and setting the agenda for his own staff. And ironically, as I point out in the piece, when Chris Ruddy and Breitbart and these other places say, you know, Reince Priebus is weak and he needs to be stronger, actually, they want the exact opposite. They want Reince Priebus to just kind of come over to their way of thinking. They want him to be weaker, more of kind of a Trump sycophant, rather than exerting true strength. Because if Priebus were to exude true strength, he'd be, you know, he'd cut down on all the tweeting. He'd cut down on a lot of the things that are going on. You know, they blame him for the immigration executive order. And, you know, I honestly think if Reince Priebus had been fully in charge, that wouldn't have been rolled out as disastrously as it was.
What is the role of the chief of staff in ensuring that there's harmony and or that, you know, that the trains stay on the tracks?
Yeah, I mean, from the conversations that I've had, you know, Reince Priebus is in charge of pretty much all the day-to-day operations in the White House. He's the one that schedules the meetings. He's the one who makes sure who gets in front of the president. You know, he keeps everything running on time. And in this White House, it's especially hard given that you have Steve Bannon, who has you know, kind of such a different world than Reince Priebus. And so he's kind of got to keep that in check, and kind of all the people that come along with Steve Bannon, who, you know, used to run the website Breitbart, which has, you know, kind of become a magnet for this alt-right nationalist, you know, faction of the party.
And so can Reince Priebus keep Steve Bannon out of the Oval Office?
I don't know that he can keep him out altogether. I think they work pretty closely with one another, but he can, you know, he can certainly set the agenda for meetings and things like that. I think what, you know, one of the things that you saw and one of the things that I mentioned in my column is that were Priebus to actually show the strength that I think he has as chief of staff, you wouldn't have seen Steve Bannon, you know, draft up this executive order to allow him to be on to attend the national security briefings or be on the National Security Council. So, yeah, I mean, I think if Reince really were in charge, you wouldn't see as many of those types of things.
We've less than a minute before news break and then time to talk after that, but there's been some, you know, rumblings that maybe Reince Priebus's days are numbered because of this. Do you think that he's might be asked to step down or he might want to leave?
That is certainly the hope of the Breitbart folks, who have their knives out for him for sure, given all the articles that you've seen written about him, you know, his job security. If I had to venture a guess, I would say he's pretty safe at this moment, just based on discussions that I've had. Man. But you never know.
We'll pick up after the news. I'm Joy Curdine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Curdine. We are talking with Christian Schneider during this half hour. He is a columnist and blogger for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and USA Today. His latest piece is titled Priebus Not to Blame for White House Dysfunction. And we are welcoming your thoughts on that. Do you think that the White House Chief of Staff, former National Republican Party chair, former Wisconsin Republican Party chair, Reince Priebus, do you think he should share in the blame for the disarray that we see in the early days of the Trump administration or not? Whose fault is this? And is his job in jeopardy? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Curdine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Curdine Show. We have Jeremy and Racine with us. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Mr. Priebus needs to own some of, if not a large portion of this disarray, in regards to the immigration. Before that document, the executive order even touched Mr. Trump's desk, he should have been checked, rechecked, and triple-checked, sent the legal department to ensure that the constitutional laws weren't being broken, things like that. So in a sense, he does need to take a portion of the blame, if not most of the blame, because Trump is assuming that he is doing his job. He ain't doing his job, Trump can't do his.
Yeah. So, was it Reince Priebus's job to thoroughly vet that immigration or travel ban?
I don't think that's necessarily Reince's fault. I mean, I think, and I wrote this. I think the travel ban, had it been rolled out properly, you know, whether you agree with it or disagree with it, it was actually a defensible plan. But the way that it was rolled out, that, you know, I think it was like 4:40 on a Friday afternoon signing it, where you had immigration officers that didn't even know what it was doing, what it did. And so you had people like, you know, legal residents of the United States with green cards who were being detained at airports. Obviously, it was a complete disaster. But I would lay that at the feet of Trump himself, because he, it was pretty clear that that was, he thought he was going to be able to kind of slip this through without the proper review. So, you know, I don't think the travel ban itself was the real danger there. I think the danger is Donald Trump trying to get things through without proper public scrutiny, and in some respects, you know, that that lies at the feet of the chief of staff. But I would blame Trump more for that than I would Priebus.
Tommy in Green Bay is with us. Hi, Tommy.
Hi, thank you. Yeah, I kind of take objection to the guests, I guess, thought that are trying to set the narrative that there's a dysfunctional White House in the early days of this administration. This happens with all administrations, and it's, the bias coming out of your guest's mouth is pretty palpable. And then I also take to task the Breitbart News fact and the way you're trying to paint Stephen Bannon, you know, as a right winger or whatever. Stephen Bannon won. He won the election for President Trump. He beat the liberals. The liberals, like your guests, are very upset about it.
Do you consider yourself a liberal Christian? And no, and actually, what about Steve Bannon helped President Trump win this election? And who are you to criticize him?
Yeah, I mean, just because he won doesn't necessarily mean that anything that I've said about him isn't true. I mean, just go read the Breitbart website. I mean, just yesterday, you had these reports coming out about Reince Priebus. The website has been critical of Paul Ryan all around. So it is definitely this new type of nationalist wing of the party, and it's, you know, a website that represents that. Steve Bannon is the one who steered it that way. So you know, just saying, well, we won, deal with it. I don't think necessarily holds much water. I think the two aren't necessarily mutually exclusive.
Well, how about that all presidential administrations in their early days are have their rocky moments, and this is not unusual. Do you think that's true?
I mean, it is true that you definitely have power plays in the White House. I mean, in the Reagan White House, you had any number of people who were trying to get the ear of the president. But I think this is a unique situation in that you've had so much chaos here just in the first 30 days. Trump has barely been president 4 weeks, and yet people are already talking about replacing the chief of staff. So I think this is kind of a unique situation in which you have factions within the White House. I mean, the honeymoon hasn't even lasted, 4 weeks to this point. So I think this is a pretty special situation.
Yeah. You wrote that for conservatives, Priebus is their guy on the inside. Losing him could untether the White House from Congress and all the positive things that Speaker of the House Paul Ryan wants to accomplish. How come?
Well, I mean, Reince is your more traditional conservative. He's kind of within the Paul Ryan, Scott Walker type of Wisconsin Republican. And for those of us who kind of consider ourselves within that that wing, I'm not a liberal, mm-hmm. as your caller may have said, he is their connection to, he and I guess Mike Pence, who has a relationship with Paul Ryan, he would be their connection to Congress. And they have to work with Congress in order to get a lot of these things done and get them done right. So if you were to see Reince Priebus out of the White House, then it would become kind of unmoored to the people that actually have to get all this stuff done and for the president's signature. And I think this White House has already shown, this president has already shown that he is a little kind of outside of the realm. He's kind of disconnected from reality in some respects. So if you were to lose the link between Congress and the White House, then you could probably see some real crazy stuff.
Let's go to Joe in La Crosse now. Hi, Joe.
Hi. You know, my comment on this is I have so little sympathy for Reince Priebus or anyone in the Republican Party, whether their tradition is traditional conservative or not. They all hitched their wagon to this loose cannon that is Donald Trump. And now pretending that they're surprised they can't control him. They are all culpable in all of the chaos that is befalling this nation right now.
They are all culpable. Christian, how do you respond to that?
And if you've read any of my columns for the last year and a half, you'd see that I agree with the caller. We're in a situation, if I'd have any disappointment kind of with the traditional conservatives, with the leadership of the Republican Party, it's that they did hitch their wagon to Donald Trump in some respects and kind of gave him the credibility that he needed to win. And now you're stuck with him. Now whatever he does, he's the head of the Republican Party. So you're going to, in the future weeks, you're going to see this idea that you can somehow be kind of a cafeteria conservative where, you can praise Donald Trump for all the good things like Neil Gorsuch and, Betsy DeVos and, whatever else he's doing. But the overriding fact is that all the bad things that he's doing is going to taint the Republican Party for a long time, I think.
Next is Kenneth in Janesville. Hi, Kenneth.
Hello. This is a perfect example. I mean, the White House is a perfect example of what happens when you have three people in charge. And Trump has been used to dealing with his children, which is not a factor in the White House. They would do things for their father's benefit, but you don't have that in the White House now. You have three people in charge, meaning
Trump and Bannon and Priebus, Kenneth.
Correct. They can all make decisions.
Are you saying too many cooks spoil the broth?
Pardon?
Well, I'm gonna, because we're almost out of time. I guess Kenneth thinks that that's the problem, that you have three people in charge. A Christian.
Yeah, I mean, but all White Houses have chief of staff and then a chief advisor, mm-hmm. Karl Rove and whoever else. But in this case, we don't know. I mean, one of the criticisms has been that the decision making is too diffuse. Is he listening to his children? Is he listening to other lower level staffers? Is he listening to people on Twitter who are trying to rile him up? I think the problem isn't that power is too centralized, it's that it's too diffuse at this point.
Yeah. I wonder if I can get a brief reaction from you to our conversation in our first half hour. You didn't know I was going to ask this, but we just heard Democratic Party Chair Martha Lanning criticize Wisconsin's GOP delegation for not showing leadership and calling for an investigation into Russia ties with the Trump administration. Do you think that the Wisconsin GOP should be calling for this?
I mean, you have had some Republicans, Lindsey Graham, John McCain, et cetera, calling for at least some sort of investigation, and I think one may be warranted. When you do look at the actual charges in the New York Times story that kind of broke all the stuff, there is still pretty thin evidence that any kind of shady stuff took place, at least any kind of coordination on these calls that Trump staffers had with Russia. So I still need to know more, but I don't think calling for at least some investigation is really off the rails.
And also very quickly, the latest news yesterday is that Labor Secretary nominee Andrew Pudzer withdrew from consideration. There are some people thinking that perhaps Scott Walker might be the next nominee for Labor Secretary, but Governor Walker is not interested in that.
Yeah, he's said repeatedly that he's not going to be a member of the Trump administration. If you look at the budget that he just put together, it is a re-election style budget. So I would expect that you will see Governor Walker running again in 2018 and not joining President Trump.
And you would expect that Reince Priebus is going to be on the job at this time next year?
You never know. I would expect that he would, but you never know. I mean, you get the drumbeat going, and you never know what Donald Trump is, who he's listening to, or what he's going to do. So, I would say Maybe.
All right. Well, we'll be in touch. Thanks very much for being with us.
Yeah, thanks, Joyce.
Christian Schneider, columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and USA Today. We're talking with him about his latest column, Priebus Not to Blame for White House Dysfunction. And thank you to Bill Martins and to Brianne Chasso for producing this hour. And thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network.